Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We are gathered this day by the Spirit of God to affirm your call to the ministry of Word and Sacrament and to receive you with gratitude and joy as ordained ministers.
Oh, Sophia, wisdom and mother of us all, you are one with many names and images.
They have Christ's authority to preach the Word of God and administer the sacraments, serving God's people as together we bear God's creating and redeeming word and love to all of the world.
That is Bishop Mark Helmerud, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Sierra Pacific Synod, and Pastor S. Stacy Bourne speaking and praying at a rite of reception service yesterday in San Francisco, St. Mark's Lutheran Church, for seven openly gay pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Now, the plans are for three more, two in Chicago, one in Minneapolis, and then in time, 36 more in addition to that, openly gay pastors to be recognized and received officially into the roster of the clergy in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They've just been waiting in the wings for this to happen, and now it has. But how has it happened? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 26th of July. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. A little bit later in this hour, after we talk with Pastor David Ramirez about the official recognition yesterday of seven openly gay pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. You may have seen the story on ABC News Nightline. Atheists are debaptizing. You baptize with water, they debaptize with a blow dryer, and they're pretty open in their mockery of everything Christian and churchly. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest for the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. to talk about that and get your reaction as well. 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc or leave your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor David Ramirez is assistant pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. Pastor Ramirez attended an ELCA seminary for 3 years before enrolling into the pastoral ministry, studies for the pastoral ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Ramirez, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Did you ever think in the 3 years that you spent in a seminary of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that this was the future of your church, your then church body?
Yeah, I'm still laughing about the atheists blow drying their baptisms off. I'm sorry, that was that's pretty good. I'll have to stay tuned for that. But to your question, yeah, I definitely saw it coming down the road, and of course that, you know, was part of the decision for me at least to leave. My first year at seminary, the ELCA was in the midst of talking about the whole homosexual issue. And so we, as a seminary community, you know, broke out into groups and talked about it a lot. And at that point, my first year, I thought, you know what, as I talk to people, the case seems pretty clear that this is bad. Coming from a more conservative congregation, I thought, you know, maybe there's a chance to turn this around. But certainly by the end of my first year and definitely the beginning of my second year, I knew that the revisionists or the liberals were going to pound on this door until they broke it wide open. So this doesn't surprise me at all, and it I don't think would have surprised any of me and my more conservative friends while we were at Southern. That it really wasn't a question of if, but a question of when. When would the door be thrown open?
Okay, so by what method or by what logic did the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, many pastors of whom, leaders of which, in decades past, would have sworn up and down it would never come to this, how did they come to this?
Well, I mean, the theological answer is once you give up the Word of God as inspired and infallible and inerrant, as the terms we would use, you open the door to just about anything, sooner or later. But again, fair is fair. There were many, many people who might deny the infallible and inerrancy of the Bible, but who were totally opposed to the homosexualist movement. But I think the way they got there was not so much as a concerted theological reasoning, but rather by a very vocal, a very powerful, a very well-funded special interest group that really started pounding and pounding and pounding on it. And it really wasn't about theology, but about this is what we want, we've got the power to do it, and we are going to hammer this home until it happens. So I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's how it happened. And the reason why that was allowed to happen, maybe this gets to your question, is really lukewarm Lutheranism, where people might even believe a lot of the correct doctrines. They confess many things of the faith that we in the Missouri Synod would share with them, certainly the central articles of the faith. However, they weren't willing to draw lines and cut off error and false teaching. I think that, more than anything else, would be the reason of why this happened. It was people tolerating the error. And then, of course, we all know when error grows up, it doesn't tolerate you. It turns around and gets you.
So, complacency. Is that a good word for it?
Yeah, complacency. I like the word lukewarm. Yeah.
Then, can you explain why it is that these individuals who were apparently, according to the news, I'm looking at the New York Times, previously ordained by special or extraordinary rites weren't recognized? Why are they recognized now? What changed between the time that these individuals, some 46 all said, I think, plans to recognize, between the time that they were ordained to the pastoral ministry and now they're being recognized? What changed?
Well, the vote last August, of course, is what changed on the books and allows this to happen according to official ELCA form. Of course, as many of your listeners probably remember, last August 2009, the ELCA voted to allow openly homosexual clergy and also to allow homosexual activities as not being sinful. And so that's what really changed. But how we got to this point was certainly groups like the Exceptional Candidacy Project that was started back in 1997. There were a few other groups that agitated for this and basically set up a parallel way, apart from the official ELCA structure, on how to get openly homosexual candidates for ministry on the track to ordination, and would set them up in places and get them ordained, even if it was apart from the ELCA. Basically, long story short, is these folks were saying, you know what, this change is coming. We might not be able to blow the door open on this yet, but we're going to set this up because we are going to win in the long haul. And they were right. They were right. 2009, the vote happens, and now they can be recognized. And that's actually the really interesting thing. After the vote in 2009, of course, it's just a matter of time until something like this happens. But what's interesting is that these are folks who basically rebelled against the official procedures of the ELCA and who are now being rewarded by it. Perhaps a good analogy would be the traditionalist Roman Catholics with Society of Pius X, who were very ticked off about the modernism in the Roman Catholic Church, but now who many of them are being let back in by Benedict. That might be a good analogy.
Is it? I don't want to oversimplify here, but it looks as though, and this is the way that it happens in so many kind of mainline Protestant church bodies, unfortunately, if you want something done in the future, do it, and then eventually, if it gets done enough, the church has to find a way of codifying it.
Sure, absolutely. And I don't even think the Missouri Synod is guiltless when it comes to that. I think that's always a temptation of any church body when it's trying to maintain the status quo and it's doing theology by bureaucracy instead of by the Word of God. And so you say, here's where we're at, here's what's going on, let's construct a theology that makes all of this look okay. So, yeah, I don't think that's oversimplification at all.
Two quick final questions then, Pastor Ramirez. I know you're on the outside looking in now, but do you have any hope, realistic hope, that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America could ever reverse itself on something like this? Or have they passed the point, humanly speaking, of no return?
Humanly speaking, I think they're way past that point, absolutely.
And then finally, what's the lesson to be learned from the official recognition of openly gay pastors in the ELCA?
I think the lesson for the Missouri Synod and other much more conservative Lutheran bodies is watch out for creeping change, change that slowly is happening over time. I think that the lesson for those who are more traditional in the ELCA is that these guys are not playing by the book. They're not playing by the rules. I think that's a big misperception out there that the revisionists or the openly gay folks who were hoping to become pastors were patiently suffering until the ELCA was enlightened to allow their agenda. But that's just not the case. They have proven time and time again that they are not going to stop until total acceptance and celebration of all different and various forms of sexual deviancy reigns supreme in the ELCA. And that means that they're going to be coming after those guys next. We all know the stages of error. First it demands tolerance, then equality, and then it crushes orthodoxy. And those guys really need to think long and hard about how safe is it to stay in, not for their own hides so much, but for their congregations.
Pastor David Ramirez is assistant pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. He attended an ELCA seminary for 3 years before enrolling at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Seminary. Thank you very much, David.
Certainly. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, IssuesETC.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.